Welcome to The Hospitalist and the Society of Hospital Medicine. I'm Casey Quinlan. At this year's HM14 annual meeting, there was a session titled Lessons in Cross-Cultural Communication, Teaching Hospitalist and Emergency Physicians to Work Together. Dr. Ken Epstein, Chief Medical Officer for Hospitalist Consultants, a division of ECI Healthcare Partners, and Dr. Ken Heinrich, Regional Director with ECI Healthcare Partners and Chief Medical Officer for Emergency Services at the ECI Advisory Group, spoke with me about their session and their ongoing work to help emergency physicians and hospitalists form collaborative teams. Here, Dr. Ken Heinrich points out that the focus for emergency physicians is triage and disposition, setting them apart from all other practitioners.
In emergency medicine, it is somewhat unique in that we are trained to treat any emergency medical condition, stabilize any emergency medical condition, and then find the appropriate disposition for the patient. And so diagnosis is actually not our first priority. And that really is different than almost every other field within medicine, certainly different than internal medicine or family practice, which is understandably very heavily focused on the diagnosis. And I think that's the first challenge, and that's the first strategy in overcoming some of these obstacles, is understanding each other's perspectives.
Dr. Heinrich talked about the differing incentives of hospitalists and emergency MDs.
We have different incentives as hospitalists and as emergency physicians. As emergency physicians, we are constantly focused on moving the room, so to speak. How can we move patients through the ER efficiently, treating everything that is necessary, but making sure that we have the physical resources as well as the personnel resources to treat all of the incoming patients, because we have no way to control the flow, so to speak, of those patients arriving into the emergency department. Whereas in the hospitalist world, they are, number one, focused on the appropriate treatment of the patient and the appropriate disposition of the patient from the floor, without necessarily concerning themselves about what is happening in the ER.
Dr. Ken Epstein shared some questions that open up a useful dialogue between hospitalists and emergency physicians.
Why do you need me to get the patient out of the emergency room so quickly if the hospitalist doesn't understand that? Or the emergency department physician may ask, why do you need to see the patient in the emergency room? Can I just send them up once I decide to admit them? Why do you need to approve the admission? So I think it's a dialogue which is the most important first step.
Dr. Epstein says that patients don't see the emergency department and the hospital ward as two different care episodes.
Patients don't look at it as emergency room visit and then whatever the emergency room department says, followed by the inpatient visit and whatever the inpatient physician says. They see it as being admitted to the hospital, coming to the emergency room, being admitted, and continuous care. So I think anything we can do to promote the patient feeling that the emergency and the inpatient services are working together collaboratively is better, because they really see this as one continuous stay. Secondly, I think clearly from the patient viewpoint, once decision to admit is made, the sooner you can get them up to the medical floor, the more comfortable for the patient. There's no advantage from a patient perspective of staying in an emergency department gurney for another 2 hours before they go upstairs.
Getting together and talking is how Dr. Heinrich thinks collaboration is born.
Nobody likes to have too many meetings, but I think that as specialties, we don't get together enough. We do a lot of talking on the phone when it involves direct patient care. We have very little FaceTime, even within the patient care realm, but certainly outside of that. So I like having joint group meetings. I like having joint quality case reviews, as well as joint educational conferences, M&M conferences, and even some social outings as well. I think the more opportunity that we have to engage with one another outside of just presenting patients to each other, the better we're able to break down a lot of those communication barriers.
Differing incentives can cause stress and tension between hospitalists and emergency doctors. Dr. Heinrich says that ongoing dialogue between the two groups can help defray that tension.
The ED physician's whole perspective in terms of minimizing risk is not to send somebody home who might have a bad outcome. if they have any concern that there might be a bad outcome, it's better to admit the patient, because all the liability, the malpractice liability for the emergency department, has to do with sending somebody home who should have been kept with a bad outcome. Whereas the hospital physician's perspective is avoiding inappropriate admissions and justifying admissions and then shortening length of stay. So to admit a patient that does not need to come in from their perspective is stressful and causes disagreement. So I think it's a matter of getting the two sides to understand the fact that the emergency department does not want to send somebody home where they feel there might be a potential medical risk of them going home, and yet the hospitalist has to justify the admission and feel like they understand the emergency department's thinking. So I think it's a matter of working together to understand these two different perspectives.
Dr. Heinrich talks about the purpose of collaboration, improved patient care.
There was actually a great article a number of years back in the Annals of Internal Medicine, looking specifically at how active bed management by hospitalists can improve ED throughput. That's kind of what we want to look at within ECI Healthcare Partners, is how can the two groups work together to improve patient care. And so we like to be able to manage both groups, in all honesty, because then there's one leadership format and the doctors are part of the same group, so that we can create joint incentives, we can create protocols together for dealing with certain situations, whether in the emergency department or on the floor, and how we can help each other facilitate good patient care and efficient patient care, whether on the ED side or the inpatient side.
Medicine is a profession with deep traditions. Moving past tradition to a more collaborative process is something Dr. Heinrich thinks is still a work in progress.
The old ways, the tradition of medicine, when I went through training, it was sort of assumed that on the ER side, we thought all admitting physicians, they wanted to block the admission, because the more admissions they could block, the easier their shift would be. That was sort of our perspective. And the family practice residents and internal medicine residents and pediatric residents, they felt like all we wanted to do in the ER was just ship the patient out without doing any work whatsoever, effectively just dump everything on somebody else, and specifically our admitting colleagues. And I think we're still working to get past that. I think that feeling is still very pervasive throughout medicine, and I see that take form in many different ways, even as an attending.
Dr. Epstein thinks that emergency physician and hospitalist collaboration is an effective tactic to avoid becoming a 30-day readmission rule statistic.
One is, I think, that when a patient comes back to the emergency room who's been in the hospital recently, very rarely does the emergency physician call the hospitalist and say, I'm seeing your patient, you just discharged last week, can you tell me a little bit about them? This is why they came in, any suggestions? There's very little collaboration in terms of management of that patient, in terms of why they're back and do they need to come into the hospital. Often there's a whole new evaluation, as if the patient had never been there, and decision to admit again. I've found that often if the emergency department physician and the hospitalist talk about the patient that comes back to the emergency room, then discharge plans to the emergency room can be made. The hospitalist may be willing to talk to the primary care physician if there's a need to be changed in medications, and we can avoid the patient being readmitted.
Working together to create guidelines for admission is something that Dr. Heinrich recommends as a collaborative strategy.
Developing guidelines for the two groups, even about how we conduct that admitting process. For instance, one thing that Ken Epstein and I have talked about and worked on is this concept that some people want all admitted patients evaluated in the ER before they go to the floor, and other people want all of the patients to get out of the ER immediately, as soon as the ER doctor knows the patient's ready to be admitted, and have everything done on the floor. And that obviously puts us at odds with each other. So can we work on guidelines together as two groups to say, well, there is a large percentage of patients that can be safely transferred from the ER to the floor to have their workup done, even their admitting assessment done on the floor, and those patients that can't be safely moved to the floor immediately that do need an assessment in the ER, what are some of the criteria for those patients? And is it based on stability of the patient? Is it based on disposition? Is it based on the interaction between the emergency and hospitalist physician? So when there's a question about the disposition, that's when it should happen? And the answer is, as you'd expect, all of the above, that when we speak as physicians, as colleagues, if it's pretty straightforward and if we're in agreement on the patient and if the patient is stable, then they should be able to be transferred to the floor and have the assessment done on the floor, not taking up the valuable ER physical resources and staffing resources.
Dr. Epstein says that shared metrics developed in partnership can improve care across the hospital.
All medical specialties now are under pressure to have metrics and to be responsible for results. In the ED, obviously, some of the time measures like door to being seen, decision to admit, to being admitted, to getting to the medical floor are all metrics that are very important. So I think one of the things that really can help ED and hospitalists collaborate is to start having shared metrics where the hospitalists care about some of the ED metrics. For instance, the one I mentioned about decision to admit to medical floor time. That's really a shared metric. The ED cannot fix that without the hospitalist's help. The hospitalist cannot be responsible for it without if there's problems intrinsically in the ED infrastructure. So you both have to work together to improve the decision to admit to get the patient the medical floor times. And there may actually be infrastructure problems with the hospital, like housekeeping, getting beds cleaned, nursing issues that are preventing patients from getting upstairs as well. So that's one shared metric.
If you'd like to know more about how hospitalists and emergency physicians can create an action plan on better communication and collaboration in their hospitals, check out the links on emandhospitalist.com. There are tools and resources there to get you started. Thanks for listening. Don't miss a single edition of The Hospitalist in print, online, or on our podcast.